Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Campionato. Italiano.
Golazo! Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Forza Italian Football Podcast. I'm your host, Connor Clancy. I'm joined by Kev Pogzielski. And Vito Doria is back. Vito, it's good to see you again. It's good to speak to you. It's nice not being left alone with Kev. How the hell are you?
Look, I'm feeling a bit better now. But yeah, just the way things are now, I'd be glad just to make it to at least two pods in a row, to be honest. 2021 hasn't been the best for me health-wise so far. So if I can get a good run, I'm happy with that.
You've basically become the FIF pod's Eden Hazard. Like, I mean, you're not here more often than you're here at the moment. But
yeah, Kev,
we've been trucking on anyway, Kev. Just about. It's been getting tough at times, just looking at each other's mugs. But how are you keeping?
Yeah, I was trying to work out who I am. Then, you know, obviously I'm the elder statesman, but am I? God, don't call me the Ibrahimovic of the team because I'm here every week and. He's had his injury problems, so I don't know, am I Quagliarella?
I don't know. Who do you want to be?
Well, I've never scored many goals, really. So either of those will do.
Excuse me?
Quagliarella over Zlatan.
Don't be disrespecting those two fine men. If you're going to be anyone, it's probably Mattia Destro. I know he's had a bit of a resurgence this season, but generally it's just slightly below average but not bad enough to get the boot. Is that fair?
Well, you're the one giving me the critique. I don't know if I should comment on what I have offered. That's fair.
All right, yeah. fair enough. Anyway, guys, we are here to talk about football, and it's one of those really weird weekends where I watched quite a lot of the Serie A games over the weekend, and in isolation most of them seemed quite good, but when you step back and look at the table after the weekend, not all that much changed. So I'm just going to run through the results before we start talking about things. Spezia Crotone played out a 3-2 thriller on Saturday to start the action. Spezia won with two late goals there. Then Milan went away to Parma and won 3-1, despite Zlatan Ibrahimovic doing his best to compromise Milan's chances by talking himself into a straight red card. Torino beat Udinese and probably the biggest result of the weekend. Inter started Sunday's action with a 1-0 win at home to Cagliari to restore their 11-point lead at the top. Lazio beat Verona 1-0. Juve beat Genoa 3-1. Napoli beat Sampdoria 2-0. Vito's going to have a little bit of a heated rant on that, I'm sure. Roma beat Bologna 1-0. And Atalanta beat Fiorentina 3-2 at the end of Sunday. There is still, of course, one game to be played on Monday evening. Benevento host Sassuolo there, which will be quite a good game to watch, but we're not going to be talking about it, obviously, because we're recording before it happens. But Kev, what was your standout moment from the weekend? And we'll start from there.
God, I didn't know if you're going to start from there. Like you, it feels like too much football rather than a lot of football, but I think it's because it was all back to back to back. But probably let's start with Inter, you know, just 11 wins in a row and doing it with, certainly the last 10 games, sort of 20 goals scored, 4 conceded. You feel like they should be doing more because they're kind of running away with the title now, yet, you know, an average of 2 goals a game isn't bad if you're conceding like that. And it just feels peak Conte. And actually, while I'm on Conte, there was something a little sad about him going and joining the celebrations. And so it felt a little forced. And it was just like, it was almost whether, has he gone past the age or the period in his coaching career now where he, you know, all the stuff that we used to love him doing, you know, the kicking the ball and the jumping on the, you know, in the Euro 2016, wasn't it? It's like, oh, I don't know. Is he grown out of that a little bit now? It's a bit like myself. You know, I'm nearly 40 and when I pull on a football shirt, obviously I am wearing a football shirt now. It's like, oh, do you need to leave that part of your life, you know, behind now and sort of be a little bit more, I don't know, dignified, if that's the right term for him. Maybe it is more for me.
Oh, come on. I think, like, look, I've stuck the boot in on Antonio Conte more than anyone on this pod this season. I think you've gone a little bit harsh there. This is what Conte is, and this is why we love him.
Yeah, I think it was just that it looked, you know, again, well, it was the first game I watched today, but it just looked as though it was a little bit more forced. And maybe because it's not, you know, if this was week 37 and they had like a 4 or 5 point advantage and then they, you know, they went 7 to win the league. I don't know. It just felt like he was, you know, the game was never really going to be lost. They could have drawn, you know, Cagliari did actually put up a very decent sort of attempt at trying to hold them. And although it was just the celebration at this stage of the season, after 11 wins, how far they are, and it was just like it wasn't as sort of natural as it usually is with Conte, which is what we like to see because you know he's got that bit of fire inside him.
I don't know. I disagree. This is a man who, after the game, said the players know how I feel about them. I'd throw myself into fire for them. And also said that he wished he could still play because he'd love to go out onto the pitch and help them out. I just think this is Conte, and I think this is one of the positives about him is that he's very much that. His heart's on his sleeve and then some. He's great value. When he's not complaining, I love him. When he's complaining, my feelings are the exact opposite of that. But I don't know, Vito, you've got to give him this. He's about to win into their first Scudetto in over a decade.
Look, with Conte, he's very agitated or negative. So when he shows some joy, you know, at least it's a change from what he usually does. You know, better to see him just jumping around, running around with joy. And it was a top. He also, you know, he hugged and kissed Hakimi. So it's good when a coach shows emotion like that, regardless of the age. I've just, you know, growing up, I've just been so used to Italian coaches just standing around like statues, you know. I think of especially when Fabio Capello was coaching in club football. He was just very serious, very stern, and just thought, okay, it's good to be composed and all that, focus on the job. But just surely if your team is winning or you at least score a goal, show something. I mean, yeah, just I think most Serie A coaches in general seem to have this rather, I think it's more of a cold demeanor. I wouldn't say a cool and calm demeanor, but just very cold and serious. I mean, when I think about it, even when Marcello Lippi was in his coaching prime, just the thought of him smoking his cigars looked pretty cool because everybody else was just very mundane.
Yeah, no, I'm all for this from Conte. And it's something I like about Gasperini as well. Like, Gasperini's guaranteed to give you 3 red cards a season from himself. I think he's got 2 already. And it's great value just watching him on the sidelines. I remember being at the Artemio Franchi not last season, but the season before, probably whenever Stefano Pioli was there, and Fiorentina scored a goal. And this, you know, Pioli, like, very well dressed. He had his gilet on and he just looked fantastic. But Fiorentina scored a late goal. Pioli's gone. He's down in front of the press box on top of the pile. I just love it. I like seeing it happen. I'm all for it. Kev, you need to back off Conte in this situation. I'm going to fight his corner for him. But this win was huge. And I think that it shouldn't have been huge. But now, this Inter team are probably giving Inter fans a lot of satisfaction, not just because they're going to win in Scudetto, but because they are playing over the course of this season, not just in their recent games, like a Jose Mourinho team, in that they play really nice, attractive, or what you could call attractive football, whatever that is, at the start of the season. They smash teams, they score a lot of goals, and then in the reverse round of fixtures, they just win. Aesthetics don't matter, just win. And that's what Inter are doing, Vito, at the moment. They're getting a bit of criticism for it, but can you really question them? I mean, the first Scudetto in over a decade and stopping Juventus from getting 10 in a row, surely it's just win at whatever cost for them this season.
At this stage, given what you've just mentioned, that's how it should be. I think regardless of what type of football they play, we should just be glad that we're going to see someone other than Juventus win the Scudetto. And considering that Inter haven't won anything since the 2011 Coppa Italia final, I think Interisti would be glad just to see their team get the silverware. Not only that, you don't hire a coach like Antonio Conte for entertaining football. He's never been about that. He's about winning domestic trophies and creating a team that's just going to work their socks off constantly throughout games. So it'd be nice if there was a coach out there in Serie A that could bring, you know, aesthetically pleasing football and bring silverware, because I honestly think that would start a revolution in Italian football. But that's another can of worms altogether. But I think Inter, it's about, making sure that they get those trophies on the board. And I think even for the neutrals, maybe the Nerazzurri aren't the most pleasing team on the eye, but I think we really need this much-needed break from Juve's domestic dominance.
It's that old debate, though, isn't it? Is football entertainment or is it about winning? And I think if you're an Inter fan, this football is entertaining. It's not like swashbuckling attacking football or anything, but to be on the edge of your seat like that and then to get a winner through your left wing back who you signed from Parma, I mean, that is entertainment, you know? I don't know. But Kev, Christian Eriksen had a good game for Inter today.
Yeah, he forced a save from the goalkeeper right at the start of the game. And it's those little things that maybe, you know, if that goes in, then the game does turn a little bit more one-sided in Inter's favour. And when they're as far in the lead at the top of the table as they are at the moment, that they don't have to particularly press too much. Again, you know, we're talking about the sort of the entertainment value. They were saying on the UK broadcast of the game how Eriksen is doing well, but it's almost in comparison to the fact that Conte wasn't using him. And I kind of haven't got my head around that yet, whether I'm impressed with his performance or is it just the fact that we're seeing him now and he is definitely having a positive contribution, but how much were we expecting him to have on this side? And obviously he's not really come into it until Inter have kind of got a foothold on the league. Being performing really well as a team. So I don't know, I'm yet to kind of sit and think, are they getting the, you know, probably what they wanted to get out of Eriksen just yet? And maybe, you know, it'll be next season. It's really hard to judge because it also feels like he's only joined Inter this year because the two seasons seemed so close together and he joined at the midway stage of last year. And you just wonder with a proper and full pre-season, maybe even Conte having more time to work out exactly what he wants to do with him. If we can see maybe just another, you know, one more level from Eriksen at Inter.
I don't think you're going to get the Christian Eriksen that was at Spurs, because Conte and Pochettino just don't play in any way similarly. You know, I don't think it's possible for a player like Eriksen was at Tottenham to work at Inter, but there is a way to use him. And for so long, the criticism was that Conte just wasn't. And I'm not so sure that Eriksen only came in once they had a control of things, because he played, I'm getting seasons mixed up, but wasn't it in a derby this season?
Yeah, who got quite well? Somebody got injured, didn't they, which allowed him to come in.
And I think it was the Coppa Italia derby.
I can't remember if it was Brozovic or somebody was out, whether it was injury or suspension or something, and then he kind of got more game time. Yeah, I don't know. It's just whether he won't be using the same way as he was used at Tottenham, but, you know, it's almost the player as much as the coach working out, you know, what role he needs to, you know, fill in this sort of side for him to have more of a contribution. You know, this is without looking at what his goals or assists are like this year, but you do feel, you know, at least on the score sheet, he could potentially contribute more if he gets the opportunity to next season. But yeah, at least it hasn't been the underwhelming Simon that it was looking. And you know, I think the expectation was that he could even be out the door. I don't see that happening now.
We're sitting here talking about Christian Eriksen, a nice player on the ball, Vito, but it was an Antonio Conte bread and butter win, this. The wing back to wing back. One of the wing backs had just come on for another wing back. It's Antonio Conte's dream, this goal.
Oh, definitely. I think it represents what's good about Conte's usage of 3-5-2, that the wing backs do have a great importance in his team. Hakimi, he hasn't been consistent in his first season, but when he has a good day, he's very good. And it was a fantastic substitution on Conte's part. Just when Hakimi is on, he can just blitz through the opposition. And then that ball crossed the face of the goal. That was a fantastic assist from the former Real Madrid and Dortmund man. So really enjoyed that. But someone like Damian scoring definitely is very typical of an Antonio Conte team. Conte is not the best when it comes to managing, was it? Naturally gifted players, shall we say. But I think if you're either, what was it, one of those physically imposing players or a workhorse, he'll get something out of you. And even if a player is perceivedly average, he'll somehow make them into a functional player or even a world beater. So these players that, you know, might look average elsewhere, they somehow turn out to be a lot better when they're under Conte's tutelage. And that was one thing I was actually discussing with my father when we were watching the game. When I look at Darmian, he went to Manchester United. So in a way, if you're someone that follows Serie A more than anything else, like my father, you sort of don't keep track of him, and it's like he's stuck without a trace. But, you know, Darmian was a top player at Torino. He was in the national team when Antonio Conte was coach, so he's already familiar with Conte's methods. And, again, he's making his impact at club level.
Absolutely right. Kev, Milan are still second because they won away at Parma 3-1. You did the report for us on this one. And 3-1 kind of flatters them given how the third goal came about.
Yeah, a little bit. 2-1 probably would have been slightly fairer. Parma really let themselves down because Milan scored within about sort of 7 or 8 minutes. Parma didn't seem to want that to be the moment which they said, okay, let's go out and attack. They seemed to be happy and think, okay, we're going to, a little bit like Cagliari with Inter, we're going to sort of sit on this and try and, you know, take our opportunity towards the latter stages of the game. And then on the stroke of halftime, they fell 2 goals behind, and that finally pushed them to come out and attack in the second half. Donnarumma made a brilliant double save from Gagliolo and then Graziano Pella. Then the game kind of, you know, because Parma were then dominating. Ibrahimovic was sent off with half an hour to go. and they kind of stepped it up a little bit. But Palmer at that point were already beginning to dominate, because I think they realised that it was all or bust. Gallio though then got his goal, and you know Milan got the third from breaking away at the end with Palmer putting as much pressure as they could possibly do on Milan. So yeah, they were probably never at risk of losing the game, maybe drawing, you know, but Kessie kind of controlled everything in midfield, even when they were down to 10 men, Milan, but the third goal does flatter them somewhat.
The Ibrahimovic thing is a bit of a scandal, maybe, because it seems like there was just a bit of a misunderstanding where Ibra was just doing his thing and moaning to Maresca, the referee, and kept saying, "So you don't care what I have to say." It seems strange to me that you don't care what I have to say. Obviously, in Italian, it's a little bit different how that sounds. And Maresca reportedly thought that Ibrahimovic said that he was a bastard. Instead of saying "mi sembra strano," he thought he said "bastardo." And I just think you've got to be 100% if you're going to send someone off. And then after that, Donnarumma was audibly giving out to Maresca, saying, "Oh, you always have to be the main character in this, don't you? You always have to be the star." Not a peep towards Donnarumma.
The thing that, I don't know, just made me question when that came out, when I saw it today, was just how easily Ibrahimovic left the pitch. You know, he was constantly, you know, you could see him. He was just like, every time he was, you know, just about in earshot, he was just going at the ref for something or other. I think he got it was a potential foul in the middle of the pitch. Again, nothing really. It wasn't as if it was a penalty decision or anything. It was something and nothing. Kept on, you know, yap. And then the fact that when he was shown the red, he just like, there was, considering, I know they had a 2-goal lead, but you know, it's half an hour of the game left. And Ibrahimovic kind of turns his back and just makes for the bench. You know, I don't know if he felt like he'd had enough of the game. I kind of had watching it. But that was it. I thought to myself, it just made you think that he said a little bit more than maybe what's come across there. And it was just, that's the only thing that makes me question the reports that have come out post-game, that Ibrahimovic just didn't go with a fight, and it's not something you would kind of, yeah, take the earlier incident this season with Lukaku in the Coppa Italia. It's like, he's not backwards in coming forwards, and you would have thought he would
he's not going to square up to the ref though, is he?
Well, no, but at least put, you know, not just turn your back and go. Maybe try and have, you know, you've already been sent off. Try and at least have 30 seconds, a minute of discussion with the ref to say, you know, I've been there. The refs won't hear it anyway. You know, by then they've gone. They've made the decision. They don't want to, you know, even with VAR these days, they don't want to reverse these things. But yeah, just it was just a way for me. Just that he turned the way around, walked off.
I do love that Donnarumma, seeing this, didn't think, "Oh, I better keep my mouth shut." He was like, "Nah, I'm going in on the ref here."
Well, Donnarumma is captain, isn't he? And Romagnoli's absent, so I don't know that. I think that affords you a little bit more leniency, and I think he possibly knew that you get a little bit more off referees if you've got the armband on.
Goalkeepers don't get sent off anyway, right? So it wouldn't have happened. But I love the picture where Ibra's walking off, and you can just see Pioli looking at him with his arms out, like, "What have you done, you idiot?" But there you go. Vito, the big story about Zlatan Ibrahimovic this week, of course, is nothing to do with his red card. It's that he's entering an acting career. He's going to star in the new Asterix and Obelix film, which I don't know when it's being recorded and all of that, but Ibra's got the part of Antivirus.
It seemed like it was on the cards for years, but in a way, it's a bit surprising that it's happened now. A few months ago, it might have been just when, you know, we were all having our lockdowns all over the world. I was watching an old interview of him when he was at LA Galaxy, and he was on the Jimmy Kimmel show. And that I think he was just jokingly saying it, or even Jimmy Kimmel was Jimmy Kimmel was suggesting it to it, that he'd make a great Bond villain. And when I look at Zlatan, I thought, yeah, I could actually believe that. As long as he doesn't make his arrogant Zlatan remarks and tries to keep a straight face as much as possible, that he could pull it off. But if he starts saying, I am Zlatan, I'm better than James Bond, I make better martini and have better drink than you, I am Zlatan. So I thought maybe that could have been another career trajectory there. But I suppose this asterisk stuff is a starting point for Zlatan. So at least he has some goals post-football.
Kev, you're just sitting there rolling your eyes.
Well, yeah, I was just wondering whether maybe these are the... I think Maldini's come out and said, you know, it's just a few minor little things to be drawn up in the contract before he gets another year's extension. So I'm just wondering if these are the things that that are being done.
You need to stop performing at festivals.
Yeah. It reminds me a couple of weeks ago when Zlatan made his return to the Swedish national side. And I'm paraphrasing now, but saying Jonathan Wilson said that it was like he's got the utmost respect and admiration for Ibrahimovic, the footballer.
Mm.
But Zlatan, sort of the person now, I'm just tired of the tediousness. You know, he finds him incredibly tedious. And that's kind of how I am now with Zlatan. I mean, he summed it up perfectly that you can't take away anything he's achieved on the football pitch, but everything else now is just getting a bit bleh.
What do you think about the renewal? Do you think it's a good decision? He's about 72.
In his physical condition and with his contribution this season, even if he gets sort of two thirds of that, you know, goal tally or whatever, you know, and assists and things, you know, he played a lovely assist for the Rebic Open. I think so. Yeah, if it's 1 year, you know, they're not giving him stupid money for like 3 years now. It's certainly more sensible than Juve giving Buffon another year, I would suggest. But again, he didn't have a bad game actually the other day.
He was very good actually. Mid-week, Buffon was. I think both renewals make a lot of sense, to be honest with you. Ibra as well, because of how well he's done, it's easy to forget that when he re-signed for Milan, nobody thought he was going to do this well. You know, he was brought back in as an experienced head who could maybe score a goal or two, but he's just been a freak. So as a footballer, he's been phenomenal. I think it does make perfect sense to keep him on for another year. And even if he only plays a third of the games next season, he'll play a part in the dressing room, no doubt.
Yeah, you wonder if he should play the Mandzukic role next year for Milan. You know, they kind of brought in Mandzukic to support Ibrahimovic, and it's maybe they should have maybe not even bothered with that deal at all and just focused on getting or maybe promoting Liao if he's going to play through the middle and have Ibrahimovic as a backup and save his body a little bit, regardless of the excellent condition it looks like he's in. A
couple of players that don't need their bodies to be looked after to quite such an extent are the four goal scorers in Juve Genoa: Gianluca Scamacca, Dejan Kulusevski, Alvaro Morata and Weston McKennie, all very much on the up. Maybe not Morata, but the rest of them. And Juve won 3-1 against Genoa. And Vito, I've got to hold my hands up here. I've got to hold my hands up. I celebrated Juve's opener because of the goal scorer.
When I saw that Kulusevski scored that goal, I thought to myself, oh, Connor must be happy. Because I saw on Twitter, you know, you posted or did a quote tweet of something and you mentioned Kulusevski. And then, of course, you get a few of those doubters of Kulusevski as someone who covered Parma constantly and, of course, follow Atalanta, so you knew of him in the Primavera. You know about Kulusevski's strengths. You've seen how he plays, and he was superb last season for the Crociati. So seeing a goal like that, it's like, this is Kulusevski. This is what he was brought in to do. Unfortunately for him, he hasn't been able to produce that sort of consistency or produce that brilliance on a more regular basis for the Bianconeri. But this is what he can do, and hopefully for his sake, he can produce more of that during his career, because it goes to show that he's a superb player when he's, you know, playing either in the right position or he's in the right frame of mind.
No, you're right. It did bring out some idiots, that tweet, actually. It was about how the original tweet was from someone else. I can't remember who, sorry. But about Jesse Lingard having a really nice run of form since he's left United and is at West Ham. It was about how like the environment and confidence can play a huge part in a player's role. And I just said Dejan Kulusevski, because he's suffering the exact opposite of what Lingard's been going through. And yeah, you get these. There was one guy in particular who I liked. He said that Dejan Kulusevski was never good enough to play for Juve, and then admitted to not having watched them at Parma last season. And I just thought, right, there's no arguing with you then. Mute. But what can you do? What can you do? Kev, were you as happy as I was that Dejan scored?
No, I don't think anybody. I don't think anybody can be as happy as you. But I think I saw an official. I thought it was an official tweet from Juventus saying that the goals are the result of excellent wing play, you know, excellent work from Cuadrado and Chiesa. And I thought it did a little bit of a disservice to the finish of Kulusevski to sort of say that it was all down to the... Because it was a good run from Cuadrado to cut it back to him, but he had plenty to do to bend it in from the edge of the box. But nobody can be as happy as you are for Kulusevski.
Kev, just give me your hand there and I'll pull you up onto this bandwagon, because you're well and truly on the Dejan bus now. I'm in full support of that. Welcome aboard, my friend. Welcome aboard. But to be fair, Juan Cuadrado did do very well to set up that goal. But someone else who did very well to do something was Cristiano Ronaldo, did very well to miss when he had basically an open goal from about a yard out. All right, the angle was a little bit tough, but he somehow hit the post. And Morata was there, Kev, to mop up. And in the end, they had a brief little bit of panic, maybe for, 5 minutes after Scamacca scored, and then Piazza hit one over the crossbar. But the result was never really in doubt for Juve.
No, to say you watched it, because I was watching the other game, but it didn't sound like it. I saw a bit of a flurry of social media activity with the miss from Marco Piazza. But, yeah, they'll take that now and probably keep themselves in the Champions League, because they got over the line midweek against Napoli, which was arguably much more important, as much as Vito probably enjoyed Genoa losing.
Well, there is that, you know. I mean, La Vecchia Signora defeated Il Vecchio Balordo, so that's got a good ring to it. Genoa lost. But instead of having my usual hammering of the Grifone, I want to point out something interesting about the Genoa goal. It was Ravella that took the corner and Scamacca scored it. So these two youngsters or young players were involved in Genoa's goal, and they have been linked with Juve. So make of that what you will. Was that like the little audition to say to Agnelli and Paratici, hey, buy us?
Quite possibly. Yeah. But then you probably have Piazza in their ear being like, guys, don't go there. You're better off. But yeah, possibly, Vito. But I'm sure there was a lot of celebration in your house for that game, because obviously your dad has Juventus leanings. You hate Genoa with every fibre of your being. So it was a nice day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. As long as Genoa loses, it's good fun all around.
Unless, Vito, Sampdoria are playing at the same time and they lose 2-0 at home to Napoli. Before we get into that decision, give us the rundown on how this game went at Marassi.
Probably in the first few minutes, it looked like that at the start, both teams were just trying to sort each other out, basically trying to create the play. And then after 5-10 minutes, it was pretty much Napoli. They brought back, it was like echoes of the Sarri era, just the way they were slick on the ball, the composure on the ball, very confident in their play. And they probably should have scored more than the two goals that they did. And although Sampdoria showed a bit more urgency in the second half, And Napoli were creating the clearer chances, and it was probably one of the better performances from Napoli, despite only scoring twice. From Samp, it was clear that Alban Ekdal and Adrian Silva were missing. They needed someone to really dictate the play from deep. Although I do think the Partenope pay deserved the win, just felt that if Morten Torsby's goal had stood, that could have changed the momentum somehow. And I really thought, I was honestly shocked that the goal was disallowed, to be honest. Not just my personal bias, but just even the whole action, the circumstances of it all.
I'm gonna have to cut in here because I need to warn you.
Yeah.
I've never seen you say the word that you said on Twitter. Please don't say it on the podcast.
But no, I won't.
Can you go into what happened there?
I used a fair bit of profane language about the referee Paolo Valeri for disallowing that goal, and even just the usage of VAR, even to disallow the goal. That way, I thought, oh my goodness, what's wrong with you guys? I mean, goes to show that Italy doesn't produce the great referees that it used to. A nation that produced referees like Concetto Lobello and Pierluigi Gollina are now producing donkeys. And it's a sad thing, you know, since the turn of the century, whether it's referees, coaches, or administrators, and now incompetent social media managers, but that's another can of worms. And I don't understand the words coming out of their mouth. Oh, just such a terrible decision. I mean, Torsby got a good enough jump on Koulibaly, okay? So just because his hand just happened to be on Koulibaly's back doesn't mean he deliberately pushed him on the ground. And Koulibaly's a solid bloke too. So that goal should have stood. That header should have stood. It was a good header. I thought maybe they were clutching at shorts and thinking Balde had fouled Ospina, but Ospina, he should have came off and let Merritt play. He was falling down all the time and getting hurt. But, I thought this would have been a sit to at least get a point in a game when we weren't playing well. And, it was disappointing. But, even if I put my biases aside, if it happened to someone else, I just thought that was a harsh way to disallow the goal. That was ridiculous. Kev.
Yeah, I saw someone trying to justify that it was the Balde foul on Ospina, but Ospina barely came for the ball anyway. Yeah. He wouldn't have got there because Forsby and Koulibaly were in front of him, and Balde just sort of his ran took him into Ospina. The ball was already in a net, and at most Forsby's arm had got, you know, maybe touched the shoulder of Koulibaly, but I think because Ospina had been down for 4 or 5 minutes before. I don't know. I think the ref was trying to protect him. I don't think they wanted to give a goal after, that the amount of treatment he'd taken. And it was a ridiculous decision. But you know, maybe it's just because they couldn't tell who was the Samp player and who was the
right. I was gonna go on to that because if we're talking about ridiculous decisions, Kev, that was outrageous.
Yeah, it was. You've got a team that play in navy blue, what you probably call the classic shade of navy blue.
Be royal
not
blue.
Even, not even a dark, well, royal blue maybe. God, I don't use that very often anymore. Then you've got Napoli sky blue. Napoli played Wednesday night against Juve, unnecessarily, but in a sort of black with pink trim strip, which would have been much easier to determine them and Samp this today if they changed into that, but no, they chose their Argentina inspired strip.
So would their home shirt have been better?
Yeah,
because Samp have a big white ring on their shirt, and Napoli changed to wear white and blue. It was scandalous, this decision. My God,
and I can't remember. I'm sure it's this season, but it might have been last season, just because the two have merged together. But there was an instant within the top five European leagues this year where a side turned up with a change of kit and the official refused to let them wear it. So the home side, you know, which is, I think, probably because of sponsorship and everything else, and they were forced to change into their away kit at their home stadium because the away team had arrived with the only one strip to play in, which the referee deemed not suitable. And I just can't believe that isn't the call of an official in Italy as well. And I just don't know the answer, whether it is or not, but it just seems ridiculous that they allow it.
While we're on kits, did you see what happened in the Europa League the other night when Roma went to Amsterdam?
They were wearing their whites.
Both teams wore away kits. Because Roma's away kit would have clashed with Ajax's home kit. But I don't know why Roma couldn't wear their black kit, because then Ajax wear red and white at home. Obviously, Roma can wear their black. Surely that works. Don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's probably some strange UEFA rule. Because of how UEFA like to keep the numbers the same. If someone joins and takes over say the number 9 shirt, then you know, you're forced to wear sort of 29 or whatever else, because when when UEFA give out or do all their statistics on their website and things, they can't possibly have the same unique identifier for two people.
Yeah, well, Papu Gomez wears 24 in La Liga and 42 in Europe for Sevilla. So yeah, it does happen. Anyway, on to this evening's game. Sunday evening, the last game of the round. Atalanta beat Fiorentina 3-2, and Vito... Oh no, you just... Sorry, Kev. Vito was asleep for a bit. Kev, I'm in love with Duvan Zapata.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
More in love than usual? Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah, I saw you joke that he was going to get hooked at half time because he'd already scored his sort of, well, what sometimes feels like customary two goals.
But that's what he did to Muriel last week. Muriel had two in the first half and he got hooked.
But it was a great header. It was a great touch and finish for the second. Malinovsky puts in a wonderful pass. I'm not sure we all knew whether he had that level of delicacy in his passing repertoire. Wow, the big man's up top and storming through teams like that. They're going to continue punching well above the weight of their wage bill.
This is the kind of goal that if the first one, right, is the kind of goal that if Cristiano Ronaldo scored it, there'd be people slowing it down and putting, I don't know, dramatic music over his jump. He was about, whoever was jumping beside him's head was at like his hip. It was unbelievable how high he got. And he's a freak. There was a bit in the second half where he turned brilliantly as the ball dropped out of the sky. And I think it was Lucas Martinez Quarta. And Quarta comes along and with two hands shoves him in the back. And Duvan doesn't even break stride. I don't think he even noticed that it happened. It was amazing. But credit to Drągowski, because he kept Duvan from getting his hat-trick today, as he always does against Atalanta at the game of his life.
Yeah, right towards the end, didn't he? He stopped it, you know, when he was through on goal just before he came off. So I was just going to go back to that Quarta, because there was another instance where they slowed it down in the footage and you saw him watching for Zapata. you know, not a quick look over the shoulder to see where the man is and I'm going to give him a sly dig. He was clearly struggling so much with containing him. He just looked straight at him for the two or three paces that he took before sending an elbow into sort of his rib cage, which actually for once did sort of put Zapata into a small period of, sort of discomfort as he sort of went to ground. And I thought that should have been punished.
Was that far the incident than right early in the game?
No. It must have been the second half. I didn't see it originally. It was only when I was watching the replay and I thought, wow, he's really looked at him. I'm like, if they're looking at that now, because I think I probably was drawn to it because I thought they were looking at it for VAR. Because it was just blatant. He was just literally like, there he is. There's that bloke who's been causing me an absolute nightmare. Let's just go and give him to someone to leave me alone. Go over to one of my other defenders. Go and harass them. But yeah, I just thought it was a little bit, you know, you understand it happens. Like I say, the old one over the shoulder, leave a little bit on him. You know, maybe get your trailing leg to come through on the body of a man when you tackle him. You know, these are all little things we've all done. But that one was just blatant. I just think it's just, I don't like seeing it really. It's just a bit too horrible.
Yeah. Something that was interesting for me for this game was obviously from the very beginning, Atalanta set up with a back four again. Gasperini hadn't played a back four for 5 years. Now he's done it 3 games in a row. I think Atalanta now play with a back four. I think that's what Atalanta now do. In the second half, they shifted to the usual 3-5-2-1, whatever it is. But this new setup, Ruslan Malinovsky has become a new player in that he still makes ridiculous decisions every once in a while. Like, there will be, I don't know, space everywhere, but at one particular part of the pitch, there'll be three opposing players and he'll run there or he'll shoot when he shouldn't shoot. But he has learned how to actually pass a ball in the last few weeks. And some of the passes he's played have been glorious, particularly for Duvan's, I think it was the second goal. He played a really, really nice pass through there. And I just have to say, credit to Ruslan Malinovsky, because nobody has criticized him more than I have since he joined Atalanta, but he's doing very, very well. There is also talk that Hans Hattabor is on his way back, so he should be back training at least in the next week. So that will be interesting to see if Atalanta persist with the back four when he does return. My suspicion would be they don't, but maybe next season if Gosens leaves, as a lot of people expect him to in the summer, then Hattabor can play on the right of the back, and then, I don't know, Toloi or someone else, maybe Mella as well, could play left back in the back four.
Yeah, just, God, we spoke about this quite a lot last week, didn't we? And it's had me not only watching Atalanta, but I was listening to Brendan Rodgers just today, actually. And he was saying about the whole back three, back four issue, and maybe that just that dynamic of the back. Like, if you're playing with back five, and he said people get bogged down with what formation you're actually playing. You can play a back four, but you have one really attacking fullback, so actually you've got five men across the middle. Or you play with a back four, but you actually have one almost static deep line defender who then drops in the centre half splits. So then you're 3-5-2. Or you start with three centre halves and you are again in possession if you're a progressive attacking side. And, you know, with these fluid interchanging positions, almost every side plays with five across the midfield. You know, if you like attacking sides, it's only really the really uber defensive ones that will play with a solid four across the back or a static five across the back. But most teams that we would probably categorise Atalanta in are always playing with, well, I suppose, high fullbacks or what, you know, or wide men that cover the entire flank, if you like. So it's, yeah, I think it's one of those scenarios, but I do expect it to go back to what it was when Atalanta returned.
I think you're right, because you see it when Atalanta are in possession that Deron, the beauty of having Deron is that he is basically a centre-back who plays in midfield. You know, he very often drops into that gap between, tonight it was Romero in the first half and Palomino, and Jim City came on, and in the end they ended up bringing on, I can't remember what happened, in the end Mele came on and it all changed around again, but Atalanta are still in the top four and it's looking pretty good for them now. I think possibly the most fun game of this weekend happened at the very bottom of the table. Well, not the very... Yeah, at the very bottom, but the winner wasn't at the very bottom because Crotone went to Liguria and they lost 3-2. But I had a match report written that said they won because they were winning 2-1 until the 89th minute. Obviously, Simi scored. It's now 16 for the season for him, and I think it's 6 in a row in which he scored. A ridiculous record, but it wasn't to be because Giulio Maggiore and Martin Ehrlich popped up with goals in the 89th and 92nd minute, respectively, to win it for Spezia. But Vito, we've got to talk about Simi. He's not playing in Serie B next season. Crotone are, Simi's not.
Oh, it'd be absurd if he drops down again because he was with Crotone the first time they were in Serie A and he stuck with them. But surely now other Serie A clubs should take a good look at him because he's a tall guy, but he's still a good finisher with his feet. And I reckon he should be staying in Serie A. Junior Messias should stay in Serie A. And probably, you know, Adam Unis, I think he's had his share of struggles in Serie A, but I think his loan spell at Crotone has shown that he can produce his moments of quality when given the chance. So even if he doesn't go back to Cagliari, I mean, surely another Serie A club can take him on next season.
Kev, he's 28, as you just pointed out. I thought he was older, to be perfectly honest with you, but 28. He's having the best scoring season of a Nigerian in one of Europe's top five leagues since, like, Yakubu in, what was it, 2007, when he had that really good year with Blackburn. But he's just won off that record now, and he's probably going to break it, you would say. He's got to go to someone like Bologna or Verona or someone. But Simi has got to stick about. And as Vito rightly pointed out, Messias as well.
Yeah, I think, well, he obviously takes their penalties. So I think he will break that record. But I think, you know, I say he's 28. He's 29 in September. So probably by the time Serie A starts again. If he doesn't stay in Italy, I think if you're his agent or whatever, I think that's what you're probably saying to Crotone that, he can't, you know, he's probably at a peak. You know, he's got this, sort of, if we call it a purple patch, and you'd be wanting to continue to test yourself in a top European league as opposed to even sticking around because, you know, maybe what the club's giving you and everything else. It's, I think he has to be a little bit selfish and push to be playing still in a top major European league next season.
He's only under contract until the end of next season. So Crotone will kind of be pressured into doing something this summer, right? They either sell him this summer or risk losing him on a free. And they don't really have much negotiating power if they're down in Serie B either, unfortunately for them. But I just think all of the teams that get promoted should be immediately trying to sign Simi. And a lot of the teams who, basically everyone in the bottom half who doesn't get relegated this season should be trying to sign Simi. Fiorentina could do with someone like that. You know, Vlahovic is going to get sold sooner or later. Get Simi and he'll do a job for you. But Crotone are a lot of fun. Spezia, though, Vito, we've spoken about them a few times on this podcast this season, of course. Great to see them get a win. They are now surely in... There's no chance that they're going to get sucked into the relegation fight now.
I'd be very surprised if they did. They've generally played well this season, but this probably wasn't one of the best performances, I should say. That's probably there have been other games where they've had either, not necessarily more endeavour, but they were able to combine a lot better, play with a bit more intensity and create far greater openings. But in this particular game, they didn't get overwhelmed by Crotone, and towards the end they showed that they could turn the game around. Then Ehrlich to provide the assist for, oh my God, now I can't, I think was it Maggiore that made it 2-2?
Yeah.
So, you know, he got the assist for Maggiore. That was a good pass to him. And then he popped up with the winner himself. So, yeah, it's always good if, even if the whole team's not playing at their best, you still got to focus on the remaining last few minutes, get what you can, and that's what Spezia did. And they managed to turn around in a rather incredible fashion.
Kev, they've got 32 points now, which in their first ever Serie A season is the best total for a side in their first ever Serie A season since Chievo got 47 in 2001-2. Does that show just how bad the teams, not the promoted teams, but the new Serie A teams have been? The likes of Carpi, Frosinone, Benevento, the likes of those guys have been, or should we give Spezia that bit of credit?
I don't think it's sort of, we say, good from a quality perspective. I think it's just how refreshing it's been this year that the teams have come up and played some nice football, attempted to win games. You know, Crotone have played some lovely stuff this year as well. They've not quite had the rewards that Benevento and Spezia have had. You know, sometimes that's just the rub of the green, but I suppose too often teams come up, try to hold firm, pick up the odd points where, you know, look at the benefits to those two sides this season for taking a different approach. And it's not probably not that they're the better, you know, on paper, but it's, you know, having a different approach this year has certainly benefited them. And hopefully the three sides that come up next season will do the same.
There were a lot of other games that we're not really going to give all that much attention to. Lazio beat Verona 1-0. Hard-fought win, but Vito, Verona are a difficult team to beat, so Lazio will take that 1-0 stoppage time win all day long.
Oh, definitely, especially against a team like Verona that's just been so well drilled defensively. I think a win away at the Bentegodi is always great to get. And Milinkovic-Savic scoring the win, I think, again, he shows that he's just such a useful player. Just both parts of the pitch, he'll make a contribution. And if it's not Immobile or Caicedo scoring the goals, you can count on him to chip in from midfield and get something as well. So well taken win, and Milinkovic-Savic once again shows how decisive he is for the Biancocelesti.
Back in the eternal city of Rome, Roma beat Bologna 1-0 in a game that Kev and I both watched but can't really think of anything that happened in it. It wasn't very exciting, but there was one thing which was good, and it's Borja Mayoral's goal, because the touch that he pulls off to just... I don't know what Skorupski's doing, by the way, running out to where he ran out to, but Mayoral, just this elegant little touch where he just elevates the ball and lets Skorupski slide under it. And Mayoral doesn't seem to move forward as he does this and collects the ball, taps into an open goal on the other side. Really, really nicely taken. Bologna might have scored a couple of times before Roma got ahead, but once Roma got ahead, the second half was pretty dull. That goal came just on the stroke of halftime, of course. And the other game is down at the bottom where Udinese lost 1-0 to Torino. And that means Torino now have a 5-point cushion and a game in hand over Cagliari. A 7-point cushion and a game in hand over Parma. Kev, the bottom three is settling nicely if you're a Torino fan, and settling not so nicely if you're a fan of Cagliari and Parma, because they're probably gone.
Yeah, Torino have obviously got a game in hand as well on closest challengers, Cagliari. I didn't see any of the bottom four reaching 30 points at one stage, you know, a few weeks back. So I think Torino now look like the more likely to pick up something maybe closer to 35, 36 and be safe, because Cagliari look like they've just too often have got not enough fight in them.
Yeah, well, Torino have 27 points now to Cagliari's 22 and Parma's 20. Crotone rock bottom on just 15 points. But Crotone have won more games than Parma this season, because Parma have only won 3. But I'll be going to Serie B games next season. Don't you worry about that at the Tardini. Saturdays, need something to do on a Saturday before going to ridiculous numbers of Serie A games on Sundays. Something we never spoke about last week, Kev, but you want to address now. I think I've spoken about all the games, haven't we? Give me a nod or shake the head. We've spoken about all of them, except for the game that's not been played yet. Inter launched a new logo. Reluctant to call it a crest because it's a little bit different, because it's like the Juve thing. It's a fashion thing more so than football. But people have spoken about this now, but Kev, you specifically want to talk about it. For what reason?
Well, no, just because we had a question, didn't we, on Twitter ahead of last week's pod, and then we
did we
probably rambled so much and we forgot. Yeah, somebody asked if we were going to they said that it was in need of discussion. You said it would be dependent on me if I wanted to. I gave you my feelings on the whole.
You didn't bring it up, so it's on you.
I gave you my view on the whole I am promotion theme, which again I understand less than I do understand the change in logo, because you know the Juventus one was terrible, but at least it was a significant change from what they had before. As Marco Jackson pointed out when this was launched, it just looks like Inter have changed the logo to now read tit.
I can't not see that, you know, now, because it does. It just says tit in the middle of a circle. That's what the new crest is. And when I step back and look at it, I do really like the badge. I think it's nicely done. I think it's quite minimalist in that you can make this work on a polo shirt or on a jacket or on, I don't know, a backpack. And it would look quite nice in a lot of different colors too. But it just says tit.
But how does that differentiate from the previous crest?
I think the thing is also circular, crests, so they're more exclusive than inclusive a lot of the time. Whereas if you go along this, it's not offensive to anyone, because a lot of people will just see it as a nice design rather than a football crest.
But before, it was the FC they've dropped.
Yeah. So the big thing with this is that for the first time I think ever, they've got an M in their crest, because Inter have never been Inter Milan in Italy. They're Internazionale Inter, but they're Inter Milan in the English-speaking world, unfortunately. So the whole thing of adding the M and the big push with the I am strong is to really, really drive home that they are a club in Milan. I think it's basically like an SEO thing for when you search for like football clubs in Milan. Milan come up immediately and Inter are nowhere to be seen. So it's basically their response to Google, this whole branding thing. But the IM thing, it's just a sentence spoken by an A2 English speaker with an Italian accent, because they can't say I am, right? It's dreadful.
I am street.
Is that one of them?
I am street, and I'm assuming they've just looked at somebody that would... that would vaguely fill a sort of a description of a thug, an inner city youth. I only realised when I was looking at I Am Record that it was a former player. So I'm assuming it's somebody who's got an appearance record or something. I can't remember who it was now, but I think there was Marco Materazzi. I think he was I Am Record. No, I am Victory or something, you know, or something like that, which I'm assuming is loosely related to the treble in 2010 and all, you know, any other trophies he won with Inter. But yeah, some of the IMs just baffled me. They just
a lot of the time ridiculous. When things like this are designed, you think, could you not just show it to someone in the street? Do you know, like, because it goes through all these offices and there's a certain thing to be said for once you see things enough, you just think you're numb to it, right? You just think, yes, good, it's great, it's all this. Just go to an English-speaking country and chat to people in the street and just think, what you make of this? That says tit. Well, what's that? It's this. Okay, we might not do that then. I don't know.
Yeah, you know why a lot of marketing departments don't often like to do too wider stakeholder engagement? It's because the stakeholders tell them that it's shit. In my experience, that's generally what happens. I've had it myself where I'm getting loads of complaints about, you know, what you've just done. You know, it's not, how many of, you know, the staff members did you consult over this? And they go, oh no, we didn't. I go, why? It's like, well, We spoke to one or two, they didn't really like it, and we'd gone too far down the road by then, and this is what we were doing. There you go. It's not as bad as their fourth kit.
I like that.
Fourth kit's atrocious. But I probably have, sorry, Vito sitting here picking kits off on his kits again. Please do tell me your view, Vito. But the fact they've brought it out in April.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure whether they're going to wear it, but they brought a fourth kit out in April with eight games of the season left. I saw somebody eloquently put, have I spunked 70 quid on or 70 euros on a shirt Inter aren't actually going to wear? And I thought, well, are they going to wear it? Because I don't know. Have they just brought out a fourth kit in April with a couple of games of the season left, and then they'll have a fourth kit for the 2021 season that'll probably come out in, I don't know, May next year?
See, I was confused with this. I thought it was a kit for next season, but no, is it actually for this season, that kit?
They are promoting it as fourth kit.
Okay.
Now, unless it's... And I think they're promoting it as 2020-21 fourth kit, not sort of 21-22.
Fair enough. I like it, but I can see why people don't, because it's not a football kit. It's a fashion shirt. I think it's quite nice. Kev, you're 73. Relax. It's time for the game, though. So, this... Look... Kev's not very good at the game, but what he usually does when he goes first is it Bruno Alves on his first guess? So in the absence of Vito, I thought, I know what, we'll play the game with Kev. I'll give him a point. I'll make it Bruno Alves. He's going to immediately say, is it Bruno Alves? He'll get a point and everyone will be happy. It won't affect the standings at the end of the season. So what I did, Vito, in your absence was, played the game with Kev, made it Bruno Alves, and he didn't get it. He barely got to Parma.
I stopped Bruno Alves weeks ago.
He barely got to Parma, Vito, before the time ran out. So I'm going to have to let him go first today, Vito, and probably for the rest of the season, just to give him a chance. But you've 2 minutes on the clock. Mystery player. Starting now, Kev, go.
Are they right-footed?
Fuck off. I don't think so. I don't think so. But let's start the clock again and let's not be silly, okay? 2 minutes on the clock starting now.
Are they Italian?
They are Italian, yeah.
Do they play for a side that plays in blue?
They do not play for a side that plays in blue.
Does this player play for a club in Northern Italy?
They do play in Northern Italy, yes.
Is this club in Emilia Romagna?
They do not play in Emilia Romagna, no. Kev, an Italian player who plays for a Northern Italian club, not in Emilia Romagna.
Do they play for... Milan.
They do not play for Milan. Why are you going straight for clubs? Vito, over to you.
Okay, they play in blue. Do they play for one of the Turinese clubs?
They do not play in Turin, no.
Okay. Do they play still in Genoa?
Four regions.
No, wait, then there's a...
What's your question, Kev?
Do they play in Genoa?
You're an idiot.
Do they play for Genoa, actually?
They do not play in the city of Genoa, no.
And both teams wear blue. Okay, is this an Udinese player?
No, it's not an Udinese player.
I wasn't sure on the blue in Genoa.
Kev, it's your turn. There's 33 seconds left. My God.
Okay.
There's one club left.
They play for Fiorentina.
Oh, sorry, there's another club left. It's not Fiorentina.
Oh, God. It's your turn, Vito. Let's just kill it.
12.
Oh, jeez.
10. This is bad. Northern Italian club, not in the city of Genoa. They don't wear blue. 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're on Spezia here.
Club is Spezia. The club is
it's Verdi.
It's Daniele Verdi. Yeah. It's Daniele Verdi. But unfortunately, Kev, you're too bloody late.
Yeah, but I won the moral victory.
Do you know what? I need to work this out, but I think I've got more points than you now, Kev. And I'm not playing the game.
No, because I've got Aaron Hickey. Before we had last week, I got Aaron Hickey.
I think I'm on 5.
I think we're both on 4. And I think one of your 5s will have been Vito's tactical delays.
But one of my 5s was the player that you guess every week before the game starts, Kev.
And if you said that he was right-footed, obviously Daniele Verdi scored with his right foot, that would have been my next guess earlier.
Bollocks. I think, is he right left-footed though, isn't he, Verdi?
He's left-footed.
Yeah.
Verdi. Yeah, he scored with his right foot.
I didn't even notice how stupid one of your guesses was until Vito started laughing. They don't play in blue. Genoa. Do they play in Genoa? Both teams wear blue.
See, I'm not sure if I class Genoa as blue as sort of, I suppose I'm going traditional royal blue
with
again.
With that, I always go to Nick.
Blue is blue.
So with like Cagliari, if someone said, do they play in blue? I'd say, yeah, their nickname's Ross or Blue and they've got a bluish colour. Yeah. But you didn't get it anyway because you're a moron. But Vito, you're not a moron. I like you very much. And I like you very much because you've been rounding up the Primavera for us on FIF. Can you just give us a quick rundown of what happened in the Primavera this weekend?
All right. So Sampdoria actually managed to maintain top spot and they've got the clear lead. They defeated Genoa in the local derby 3-1. So that was great for them. Roma drew 1-1 with Fiorentina and that's bad for them because they were fighting for top spot and they got second. And then Inter in third place, and they played in the opening game of the round. They traveled to Ascoli. They almost squandered it, but at the death, they managed to hold on for the 2-1 win with a nice diving header. So, yeah, it's looking quite interesting there. And, at least from a Samp fan, at least the kids are doing better than the seniors.
Get them into the first team next season. Bring Gianpaolo back, get the kids involved, and you'll be back in Europe before you know it.
Oh, yeah. I hope that's the case, but realistically, I'm not expecting too much. I'm not holding my breath, but hopefully it's something down there. Like,
fingers crossed. It'd be nice to have a competitive Samp again so we can reignite the FIF derby between Sampdoria and Atalanta because it's not been very fun. Yeah. I know Samp have won this season, but there's nothing on the line there. You know,
no, not only that, you know, I've seen you two lads, you know, your teams are in the CL, you know, the Champions League. We haven't been in the qualifiers since 2010, 2011. And when we were in the competition proper, we reached the final, but haven't been anywhere close since. So it's been a very long wait.
Well, me and Kev have been going head to head in the Champions League this season and even getting knocked out for the same team by the looks of it.
Not yet.
No, not yet, but I did say by the looks of it. Anyway, any more to say?
See you next week.
Vito, thank you. Kev, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye from me, obviously. From me. Who else would I be saying goodbye for?
Non siete soli, stiamo aspettando che l'Aquila voli, non siete soli, stiamo aspettando nel cielo che l'Aquila voli. Questa curva, questa festa popolare, senti il grido che ti spinge avanti, che ti fa volare. Questo è un nido di rapaci, questa è Spezia, che ne dici? Qui si sente un coro solo, quello delle nostre voci. E si va con i nostri colori dentro ad ogni città. Noi si va casa. Oh, 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 oh. E se si poteva fare, se si poteva fare, se si poteva fare, si farà. Non siete soli, non siete soli, stiamo aspettando che l'aquila voli. Non siete soli, non siete soli, stiamo aspettando nel cielo che l'aquila voli. Questa curva, queste ali e questi artigli, era un covo di pirati e noi siamo i loro figli. Guarda, non ti puoi sbagliare, stiamo sotto le bandiere che hanno un'aquila nel centro e sono bianche e sono nere. Si va, si va, i nostri colori dentro ad ogni città. Noi si va, si va, siamo uccelli predatori, siamo aquile, si sa. Se si poteva fare, se si poteva fare, se si poteva fare, si farà. Non siete soli, non siete soli, stiamo aspettando che l'aquila voli. Non siete soli, non siete soli, stiamo aspettando nel cielo che l'aquila voli. Non siete soli, non siete soli, stiamo aspettando nel cielo che l'aquila voli. Non siete soli, non siete soli, stiamo aspettando nel cielo che l'aquila voli. Non siete soli, non siete soli, stiamo aspettando nel cielo che l'aquila voli. Non siete soli, non siete soli, stiamo aspettando nel cielo che l'aquila voli. Non siete soli.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.